Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So these days, New Yorkers and everyone else are looking for love in all sorts of new places. Online matchmaking sites, speed dating events have supplemented the more traditional bar scene, but our next guests think that the best place to be looking might not be amongst people matched to your every specification by a powerful computer. Instead, why not look where you are spending a majority of your waking hours already, at work? But is that really a good idea? Stephanie Losey and Helene Olin are authors of a new book called Office Mate, the Employee Handbook for Finding and Managing Romance on the Job, published by Adams Media. They are both in our studio. Hello.
Good morning.
And full disclosure, you both met your husbands in the office?
That's right.
That's right. Both of us are beneficiaries of the advice in our book.
Do either of you want to tell us your stories?
I will real quickly, although Steffi actually dated in the office, and I did not, I should say, but my husband and I were working in book publishing. I was at Bantam Doubleday Dell. This was about 15, 20 years ago, and he had an office that I wanted very badly, and so I began to chat with him because he was thinking about leaving. We were both editorial assistants in those days, trying to be writers.
You wanted his physical office.
I wanted his physical office. He was the guy, so of course he got the office while all the female editorial assistants were out in the hallway. And we became friends, and we started going out to lunch and dinner, and everyone thought we were dating. And I would get confronted in the hallway, "Stop lying about your relationship." And I was actually dating someone else in the office, so I wasn't dating him. And anyway, I broke up with that person. I left the job to be a journalist, as it turns out. We stayed in touch, and within about 2 weeks, we were dating, because I realized we missed each other terribly.
But only after he left the company, and he never said anything sleazy like, "Oh, you want this office so bad? Okay, I'll share it with you."
No, he did not.
But Helene's story is indicative of every great office romance story, as is mine, because they were friends first. And my husband and I were friends first as well. I mean, that's the nature of office romance, is that it's built on this solid foundation of friendship. You know each other for this long time, and you do a dance around each other. And so by the time you finally date, you actually know each other very well, and like meeting in a bar or meeting online. So my husband and I were friends first, and he was obviously interested in me from the beginning, which meant that I could not possibly be interested in him, because, of course, why would you want anyone who actually wants you?
a problem that goes well beyond the office.
Yes, it does. And so it took a few months, and then we started dating, and he proceeded to ask me to marry him about every day for 8 or 9 months before I finally said yes.
And what was your professional relationship at work?
So I broke rules. I helped him get promoted. We were working at a computer magazine here in New York, and he came on as a production assistant, and I thought he was brilliant. Of course I would, which is why I eventually married him, and I helped him get promoted, and then I left, and I went to Fortune magazine. So everybody thought that I had left because we were engaged. So that's another thing about office romance. Everybody is ahead of you. They've seen it before you have. So we were not engaged, but
they're all jaded about it, aren't they?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, at my firm, and this is also very common, there were numerous couples. People in office romances until very recently tended to think they were alone in this, and because until really the past few years, the etiquette was to not discuss it at all. And it always had this slightly sleazy, Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky reputation. And the fact is, roughly half of us will date somebody we've met on the job at some point in our careers. And of that half, 1 in 5 will end up married. Which, frankly, if Match.com had those statistics, you'd know it.
They'd be even richer than they are.
That's right.
Now, we have about 10 minutes, listeners, for your calls about your office relationships. What worked? What didn't? We don't really want to know, whether the person was a creep. We want to know what about the fact that you were dating someone in your office proved good or bad or politically complicated or whatever. And would you recommend this for others? 212-4. Okay, we have a different phone number than usual today. I almost forgot because our usual phone system is down. So if you want to get in on this, 212-227-7606. 212-227-7606 for today. 212-227-7606. To talk to Stephanie Losey and Helene Olin, authors of Office Mate, the Employee Handbook for Finding and Managing Romance on the Job. And Helene, what do you say to the people who claim a work relationship is just too complicated?
You know, it just isn't, is the answer. You know, we looked into this quite extensively, and we have a lot of guidelines in the book. The thing is you have to remember to keep common sense. And if you stick to common sense, generally these things work out really well. You know, try not to, you know, no public displays of affection. Don't bring, I guess the most important thing to say would be don't bring your colleagues into it. And that actually really tends to reduce the complications. Don't gossip about your person, your partner. Don't, you know, share intimate details. And if things go wrong, certainly don't tell anyone, you know, the details of what happened.
I mean, what we're saying is that this is where you can meet these people. You met the person you're dating at work. You don't conduct your romance at work, and you don't send emails, and you don't send IMs that your company will be reading because they're company property. I don't think this is very complicated.
So date whoever you want, but act professionally.
Exactly. Have your romance right outside
but
the office.
But what happens when you break up? You know, there is a casual rule of thumb that some people follow that says, don't date anybody who you work with or who lives in your building. Mm-hmm. Because when you break up, you're going to still have to see that person every day, and it's just going to be awful.
Well, one of the things we talk about so much is that the office is the village of the 21st century. So go back 100 years. Can you imagine the old biddies, you know, saying, well, don't date that boy down the street that you grew up with because one day you'll break up and then you'll bump into each other at the grocery store. God, you know. What is different in this village than in the previous village of yore?
Right. I mean, you know, somebody surveyed people who married in the 1950s in Ohio, and they found that almost half of them lived within a mile of each other when they first met, and a quarter of them actually lived within about a block of each other. Obviously, we don't meet that way today. You know, we don't have as much community. Robert Putnam's written quite extensively about this. What we do have is work. That's where we meet our friends. That's where we live the vast majority of our lives. And that's where are increasingly meeting our mates.
Nikki in Montclair, you're on WNYC. Hello, Nikki.
Hi.
What's your story?
Well, my husband and I met on the job. It was our first jobs out of college. And it must have been a very casual workplace because three other couples met there in the same time frame.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been married 21 years. And what I always tell my daughter is that we were best friends before we even started dating. And I, in fact, didn't date other people in the office because I said, no, you don't date somebody at work. But he was different.
Thank you for your call. Can it get politically difficult and professionally difficult, especially for women, assuming there's still a male power structure in most places? If it doesn't work out, you're going to get punished. You're going to get marginalized.
It doesn't happen very often. You know, we always hear the horror stories out there. You know, it's definitely the man bites dog phenomena. But, you know, most of the time, people really are so accepting of this practice that people kind of know how to behave. You know, more often than not, when people leave over these things, they end up leaving of their own volition, that they feel they can't handle it.
I mean, one thing I think is that office romance, the ubiquity of office romance, is an example of the success of feminism. Because if you're so worried that you'll be viewed, you know, in a one-down position from a man competing for the same, you know, goodies at the office, then you don't take any risks at all. If you feel comfortable enough to date in the office, I think that says that we've moved forward.
Mike in Middletown, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
All right.
Great. My wife and I actually met. We were not in an office. We've been hairdressers for years, and we met prior to working together. And then we started working together and became, as the woman said, very good friends. And so good that I used to take her to parties with me to meet other friends of mine to hook her up. And we ended up, you know, ending up together. And it worked out very well. We stayed together. We're still together 28 years later. So it was really good. But in today's politically correct environment, I don't know if it says conducive to meeting people in the office. You know, with sexual harassment being thrown around back and forth, that might become an issue for some people.
Right. Let's ask about that. Mike, thank you very much. And again, our phone number just for today, as we do some repairs to our phone system, is 212-227-7606. With your calls on office romance, 212-227-7606, 227-7606. Well, he mentioned sexual harassment, and there is a line, right? I mean, there are very, you know, gray areas here in how you can express your interest in a coworker and how you can't.
Right. We have a lot of suggestions about this in the book. In fact, we have an entire chapter on it. But most important is twofold. First, no means no. And if you think you're the sort of person who can't take no for an answer, we would tell you not to date in the office. But second, you know, what we say is just because it's an office romance doesn't mean it's conducted in the office. So that, you know, if somebody says no, that's the end of it. And, you know, otherwise, if it's a yes, you should be, you know, engaging outside of the office.
Stephanie, even that initial ask out, right? When one employee expresses, you know, a romantic interest in another employee, there could be rules about that. There could be, you know, people could take it the wrong way, or there could be repercussions. I don't know if you've had any cases where, well, I don't know if you interviewed HR people for your book.
We
or
did.
If you've had cases where people got asked out and then reported it to HR.
Well, not only that, but there are some companies who find that office romance increases productivity, and they're aware of the fact that if you are dating someone in the office, you're going to arrive at the office with a certain verve, and you're going to have that energy that comes from that buzz. In fact, the only decrease in productivity does happen in the immediate aftermath of a breakup. But I might point out, whether you work with the person or you don't work with the person, after you are broken up with or after you break up, you're going to lose productivity at your particular office. But some of the HR people are so proud of the couples who have met in their offices that they actually have pictures behind their desks.
Yeah.
Truth.
And by the way, I should just add, NPR, if you call them up, will happily claim credit for over 60 marriages.
It's true.
And God knows how many dates.
You mean NPR employees?
Oh, yes.
And you have a list in the book of famous people
right.
who met at the office, I guess, to kind of counter the Clinton Lewinsky aura
right.
of all this.
Yes.
Like?
But remember, that was a hookup.
Well, for right. starters, as we say, you know, Bill Gates met his wife at the office, and we don't believe anybody is calling for his resignation anytime soon.
Anna Marie in Franklin Park has a call on that buzz you were talking about, Stephanie,
uh-huh.
I think. Hi, Anna Marie.
Yes. Hi, this is Anna Marie from Franklin Park. I can definitely attest to that buzz. Because on Sunday night, I just could not wait to get to work the next day.
There you go. Okay.
Yes, well, so when people say to us, well, companies must not be in favor of this, we have to say, no, secretly they're in favor of it. You know, I'll tell you what they're not in favor of. They're not in favor of talking about it. And that's what we're trying to do. If you talk about it, bring it out into the open,
you're
and then you can
to,
do it better.
Trying to make
and
it
not
more
make mistakes.
Okay.
Right. Well, when something is happening everywhere and no one is talking about it, that's when the biggest mistakes get made.
Nicholas in Midtown, you're on WNYC. Hi, Nicholas.
Good morning.
Morning.
So,
morning.
I work in a restaurant business, and I would have to say that the dating scenario that you find in the industry is between the kitchen and the front of the house, the servers, the hosts, the bartenders, etc., and it can become obviously very heated given the circumstance of the environment that you're working in. And I also would have to say that I think that it's really common to be dating within the industry because they're probably the only people that can understand the industry. Long hours, difficult schedule, dating someone who doesn't work in the industry, typically they just don't get it.
Right.
And do you go out to eat or do you just want to go home?
That's what the super late night restaurants are all about. They're catering to people who are sneaking out of the restaurant at midnight and trying to go get something to eat with someone who works in
yeah.
the industry.
Helene?
Yeah, I mean, that's very common. I mean, you know, people are also, who are of certain personality types, tend to be attracted to certain industries. Like I would imagine in the restaurant business, you are getting an awful lot of people who are really actors and musicians. And, you know, these are people who already have a certain common personality set.
Amy and Passaic, you're on WNYC. Hi, Amy.
Yes, hi, Leonard.
Brian.
I've been a coworker. Oh, I'm sorry.
He's my coworker, and there's nothing between us.
It's all rumors.
Yeah, you know, I've seen the romance go forth, and usually it's abusive. There's a power struggle that goes on. It's often there's a name partner, and it's somebody of less stature that's dating that partner. And, you know, it's more of a fling. And then
that right. still work.
Well, you're talking about the power dynamic. And so, Stephanie, what about that? Is it ever okay if you're the boss to ask out your underling?
Well, the boss-subordinate relationship is in a chapter of our book called Don't Go There or No, No, No. Because that's a case where, not to sound corny, for our purposes, and the only reason to take that step is for nothing less than true love. Because there's just so much room for discomfort, not only for actual charges of sexual harassment, but for this a feeling among coworkers that there is favoritism, even where favoritism doesn't exist. And the funny thing about boss subordinate relationships is that if you're dating someone in the office, if you're friends with someone in the office, you can help each other move forward in your careers. If you're dating someone in the office, if you're a boss dating if you're the underling, then you can't take advantage of anything. You're actually less able to take advantage of favors in the office if you're dating someone.
Especially,
so it really backfires terribly.
And especially if it's open, like you advise. Right. Now, we're almost out of time, but Robin Litchfield wants one more stat. Hi, Rob.
Hi. My wife and I met at work. We've been married for 7 years. And I was wondering if there's any statistics on the divorce rate for married people who did meet at work.
Oh, are you having a seven-year itch, Rob?
There is, unfortunately.
Just wondering. Just curious. I'll take my answer.
Unfortunately, there is not. Some people have speculated it's higher. Some people have speculated it's lower. But no one really knows the truth of the matter.
But if you want to learn everything else about office romance, read Stephanie Losey and Helene Olin's book, Office Mate, The Employee Handbook for Finding and Managing Romance on the Job. Thanks a lot.
And romance, you won't nestle. A fine romance, you won't wrestle. I might as well play bridge with my old mate aunts. I haven't got a chance. This is a fine romance.